This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of endlessly searching for work? Applying for jobs, never hearing back? Job openings vanish into thin air? What if there was one connection you could make and that'll link you to dozens of companies that are hiring? What if the connection was a locally owned business ready to help you and they don't charge you? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Expresspros.com.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the final hour in this Wednesday. Morale is high. Glad to have you on board. Come up with a new poll question for the final hour. Check in with the Chicago Bears. What did the Bears GM say or try to say or try not to say yesterday when he had this to say to reporters at the Combine?
We're open-minded as we walk into the combine. If it hits me that there's something, you know, worth capitalizing on or jumping on, that's what we'll do. If something doesn't feel right and we need to gather more information, then we'll wait. But again, I'm always going to have in my mind to make sure we do right by Justin.
Okay. I don't know what that means. You're going to do right by him? Doing right by him would be, hey, we're going to keep you and we're going to pay you. That would be doing right by him. They're not going to do right by him. They're going to do what's best for the Bears, and that's what they should do. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. PGA Tour begins the Florida Swing, the Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach. That'll be Rory McIlroy and company. Seton, final hour poll question.
Well, I think we're going to make a poll question out of the game Paul's been teasing.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
Okay, Paul, the game that we're going to play.
It's very, very exciting, Dan.
Okay.
This game is called Best Job in Sports.
Okay.
Parentheses, not a player, coach, manager. You're not really directly involved in sports.
I'm not judged on wins and losses.
Correct, yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay.
So, like, you can't be the GM of the 49ers.
Okay.
Or even, like, the play-by-play person for the 49ers. You're involved in the game, brother.
Okay.
So, you're like an ancillary person in sports.
All right. Give me the options.
Here is the number one option. Shohei Ohtani's translator. I was watching a couple of interviews with Shohei Ohtani yesterday, and his translator's been with him for almost a decade now. He was with him with the Angels. He works for the Angels, so he gets paid by the Angels. Now he works for the Dodgers. He goes wherever Shohei Ohtani goes. His name is Ippe Mizuhara.
What's he get paid?
A lot. There's estimates of seven figures.
Okay.
Estimates.
Okay.
He's vital, too, because like Joe Madden said, he was necessary to translate discussions about baseball. He's always around for discussions in the clubhouse. Nice. He is always present in the media, and he's gotten some level of fame both here and back home.
Okay.
And you get paid a lot to go to the Dodgers ballpark every day, and you're not in danger of being injured.
Yeah, but he's got to go on the road, too.
He gets to go on the road.
Mm.
He was single.
Mm. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that is a great, great job.
Okay, so translator for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
The other one I was thinking about, like, if you were like the club pro at Pebble Beach, the golf course,
mm-hmm.
one of the premier golf courses in America,
mm-hmm.
you're teaching, you're walking around in nice pants and white belts, and you probably get paid really well.
Yeah, I don't know what you get paid at Pebble
Beach. Oh, really?
Yeah. Plus, there's a lot of people who show up there to play golf who probably aren't really good golfers, and then you have to go out every day, hour after hour. That doesn't sound like a great job.
It does seem like a nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
How about greenskeeper at Augusta?
No.
Not a good job?
All you can do is screw it up.
Oh.
Like, you have to start out perfect and only get better. If you're the greenskeeper, no. Having been somebody who mowed greens at Jack Nicklaus Golf Course in Ohio.
But if you're the greenskeeper, you're probably not wearing the hat and the overalls and out there. You're probably got a staff.
I know, but I would get blamed if I cut into the apron there or my lines weren't perfect there. No, that's not a good job.
So the question is there a better job in sports than Shohei Ohtani's translator?
I guess on short notice, I would say that's a pretty good gig.
That's a hell of a salary, too.
If it's seven figures to just listen to Shohei and then interpret what he's saying.
Damn.
By the way, this is what it sounded like yesterday with one swing of the bat against the White Sox.
3-2 to Shohei Ohtani. Swung out, hit high in the air to left and deep. This ball carrying. This ball is gone! It is Dodger debut! That's what they've been waiting for.
All right. Now he did it. His debut, at least hitting a home run, he went, I think, 1-for-3, struck out, grounded into a double play. But Shohei Ohtani, get used to it. Oh, here's one for you. According to DraftKings, over-under home runs for Shohei Ohtani this year. Closest gets a handshake from me and a pat on the back, well done. Todd, I'll start with you. Over, under, home runs for Shohei Ohtani.
38.5.
Oh, come
no
on.
No way.
Bloop, bloop.
Get out of here.
I got to give you a handshake.
Yeah, at least.
Ooh.
Those soft little buttery hands.
I know.
Wet.
There's always moisture on them. Yeah.
I get a little sweaty in the palms.
All right. Well, congratulations.
It's gonna be half high five, half handshake.
The gobbler.
The turkey
gobbler.
Thing. Yeah.
How about a double or nothing, Todd?
Okay, let's go.
Let me see.
9.5 triples.
Okay. Over, under wins for the Dodgers this year, according to DraftKings.
111.5.
All right. Seton O'Connor.
92.5.
Marvin.
103.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Oh, nice.
Well, I feel better shaking Marvin's hand.
I don't blame you.
It'll be over quicker.
Yeah.
I see what you did. That wasn't nice.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, that was a little hand joke.
Yeah.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Dang.
And Marvin's got a new t-shirt, the Fresh Prince of Dan's Air, and it looks like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. So you can go to danpatrick.com, the newest t-shirt there. Congratulations, Marv.
Thanks. Month keeps getting better and better.
See, well, it's coming to an end.
Leap year.
Leap year.
Yeah.
I got the 29th this year.
Yes, you do.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We say good morning to those watching on Peacock. Download the app if you haven't done so. Let's see. Casey in Montana. Hi, Casey. What's on your mind today? Oh, we lost Casey. All right. Ryan in Ohio. Hi, Ryan. What's on your mind?
Hey, I got a question for you. First, 6'4", 275. Mm-hmm. What are the chances the Bears trade that first pick for, say, you know, second or third with New England or Washington? They then select with that pick Marvin Harrison Jr. They get a first round for next year, maybe a second, and then they use their pick at 9 to pick an offensive lineman.
I guess everything's on the table here, Ryan. I don't have any insight. I don't have any Bears source, but I guess if you're trying to, you know, make the roster full, you can have one great player, but you better have some pretty good players to surround him, or it's not going to matter. Sean in Indiana. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you guys doing?
Great, Sean.
Good. I just wanted to call Mo in Arizona. He beat me to it about the jokes about little mini hands Marv over there, so I'll just let that go.
Mm.
But I called last October. I had some vertigo going on. I'd like to update you on that and offer some thoughts on the kickoff, if that's okay.
Sure.
So I went to an ENT. Turns out I have an inner ear problem. So they referred me out to the fine facilities of CSU, which when you roll up, you might think it'd be a little crappy, but everything there is top-notch. It's all heavy-duty.
Mm.
But they make you do a lot of squatting and a lot of pushing movements, which I don't know how that's going to help my ear.
So here's Sean, who had vertigo, saying he went to Crappensburg State. That's what he's doing there. That's
There it is.
Thank you, Sean.
But on a serious, thank you. On a serious note, though, about the kickoff.
Oh, now on a serious note. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I got to, you know, flip the page.
Here we go.
Yep. So with the kickoff, I think I understand the violence and things like that, but I think we're missing the real issue is everybody just kicking it out the back of the end zone. So we penalize them for kicking it out the side and bringing it out to the 45. Why can't we just do something like that for kicking it through the back? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. If you want to have kickoffs, you move the guy who is kicking off back, if you want to. But they don't want that. They want to give you the perception that there's the possibility of a kickoff return. That's all. I mean, you got to start the game. You can't start the game on the 25-yard line. So they have the ceremonial opening kick. Yes, Mark.
And I would hate to be a special teams guy because, first of all, you don't want to be on special teams. That means you're a backup, right? And then you don't have a chance to make an impact on the game because it's just ceremonial now. It's not even, all right, kick the ball off and somebody make a play. Devin Hester's not in the Hall of Fame if he's playing in today's game because he won't have a chance to make a play like he did.
Well, he'd be a wide receiver or probably a defensive back if he was playing. Philip in San Antonio. Hi, Philip. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, a long-time listener, first-time caller. First of all, 5'9", 175. So I have a possible fix for the NBA All-Star Game. Are you ready?
All right.
Instead of waiting till the end to incentivize these guys to play a little bit of defense, what if we do this? Best of seven series. Each game is just each team competing for 21 points. The first team to reach 21 points wins a game. Then you got commercial breaks built in. You got in-between games, you know, on the court, you know, entertainment built into that. And you start to play at the heartstrings of the players who know what it's like to be down 2-0, 2-1 in an NBA playoff series. Now, granted, the stakes aren't that high. And if you're trying to look for a way to incentivize them that's non-monetary, I think this is a slam dunk idea. Start getting them to play defense right from the beginning instead of the last five.
Not going to work. Not going to work, Philip. They don't care. The only way that they're going to care, and I don't even know if this is the case, it can't be any worse. So the suggestion is players born in the United States versus players who are born outside the United States. So they get Canada and all the European, Asian countries. You get the world against the United States. Then you could get sort of that, I don't know, patriotic pride, playing for our country, you know, Luka and the Joker, and then all of a sudden they actually care. They didn't care at all in this year's All-Star game. Zero. When Luka took a 75-foot shot in the second quarter, I go, I would take him out and just have him sit down and just say, Luka, you know, why don't you just rest then? If you don't want to play, you just sit down. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Marv.
Those international guys, I'm not sure if they're going to care that much. We got to play for the world. Like, it's going to say world on their jerseys, right? Instead of the world versus USA. If those guys, like international guys, they care about their country.
Okay, maybe the first time they play. Maybe. But, you know, you have to have the game. You're going to have the game. The question is, how do you make people care? And maybe you don't. Maybe it's just going to be, who cares? I'll watch, you know. But my motto is, if you don't care, then I don't care. And that was the case. I couldn't care less about it. It was really easy not to watch it. It was. I didn't go, oh, God, I don't know. Am I going to miss something? No, I was not going to. Yeah, Paulie.
And that's the problem. You know, get off my lawn, but 15 years ago, it was appointment programming. It was very cool. You'd see Kobe Bryant get up in someone's face. Wouldn't it be great, though, if next year, like 5 minutes before the game, either the East or the West decides, you know what, we are going to play 100%. And all of a sudden, it's like a swarm of bees. They're pressing full court, trapping, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's like baseball's All-Star game, you know, with interleague play, and then nobody really cared. And then Fox said to Major League Baseball, look, nobody cares about the All-Star game. Can we attach home field advantage in the World Series?
What?
Yeah, we'll do that so people care about an All-Star game. Players didn't. If you're playing for the Pirates, do you really care who gets home field advantage? And everybody wants to play three innings and then leave. That's what it would be. Hey, I'll make my appearance, probably get an incentive bonus, and then I go. Yeah, Paulie.
But you can make the case that baseball's All-Star game is the best of the all-star games right now because it's competitive. You can't play baseball 50%. You're not going to throw the ball 70 miles an hour. So the guys are in are trying during the time they're in.
Yeah.
Baseball all-star game is like a regular baseball game. The lineups are mixed up. The NFL Pro Bowl is done. The all-star game is basically done. The baseball all-star game is still a real baseball game.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point that you make, that you're still throwing the ball 90 miles an hour and you still have to hit it. I just don't know if they really care. They don't even want to stay around for it. Yes, Todd.
And I know baseball's slower moving than basketball, so it allows for it, but at least they tried with the interaction and you're talking to the players, literally like between pitches. Wow, we fouled that one off on you. What are you going to throw next?
Yeah, I guess. Yes, Marv.
And I feel like American League versus National League, like you guys were saying before, interleague play is kind of killed that because guess what? If you live in Boston, you're not going to see Mike Schmidt, but now you get to see him. And so it really doesn't matter that much anymore. And I'm sure National League versus American League was a whole different animal back in the 50s.
Yeah, there was pride.
In the 60s.
I mean, Pete Rose knocked over Ray Fosse going into home.
Let's bring that back.
To win the game. Yeah. Ray Fosse's career was never the same. But it was important back then. I think that was the 1970 All-Star game. Pete knocked over Ray Fosse. If it's the World Series, I understand that. But an All-Star game, I understand these players don't want to go out and risk injury. I get it. But, you know, at some point, can we meet halfway on this? Is that, you know, something that is solvable that we're going to care? Or is it just gone? I mean, the commissioner there was disgust in his voice when he's handing out the trophy.
Disappointed dad.
Yes, he's like, you scored the most points. Here you go. Congratulations. Yes, Marv.
And that whole thing about players getting hurt to me is just nonsense, to put it lightly. Because on Instagram and all that, you go to those different pages and you see guys busting each other's backsides during summer workouts. They go to UCLA out in Los Angeles during the summer, and they are killing each other during the summer workouts. So this whole, you know, notion of, oh, guys don't want to get hurt or whatever. Come on, those guys are playing hard as hell during the summertime.
Yeah, but I look, none of us is in that position. And if we were, it's easy for us to go, man, I'd be playing hard. I'd be picking you up full court. I mean,
I'm not saying they would, but I don't want the excuse of they don't want to get hurt.
Yes, Todd.
So what can we trace it to? When and why did it all of a sudden, something that the teams were passionate about and the leagues were passionate about, the West beating the East, the National League beating the American League, greed? Why is there all of a sudden guys that, like, who cares? Something had to have happened.
I don't know if there was something that all of a sudden that happened and now nobody cared about playing in an All-Star game that I'm aware of. Just felt like it just sort of evaporated. You know, the competitiveness evaporated. Yes, Eden.
Well, I mean, I think in baseball, we're just talking about interleague play. Definitely hurt it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
But what about the NBA? Like, what happened with the NBA? They've had interleague play. So I don't know what happened there other than they just said, we're going to go through the moat. You know, people just want to see us shoot threes and dunk. And that's what they give you. Hey, here's another dunk, and here's a three. Yeah, Paul.
I think it's a natural evolution of, like, player empowerment and joining other teams is that players, they're not angry with each other anymore. They don't dislike each other. It's almost like they're on a collective team. The NBA players are all on one team to help each other make as much money as possible, which is fine. But there's not, you know, any really animosity between teams. You join other teams for a year or two. You join your friends. You get your friends to come play with you. It's like a club,
yeah,
and they're not in opposition with each other anymore, and that's been the case for probably 15 years.
This is what I'm wondering if the NBA does this. Now, this sounds crazy, but you create a basketball floor, and it's like a pinball machine. So there's certain areas, there's lights that light up. Like, you get to a certain point that, you know, that's worth 5 points. So you make it almost interactive from the standpoint of if you're a fan. The players get into it because it's something that's fun. And it might not be competitive as much as it's just fun. You're going to display the game in a different way. And I think because of these basketball courts now, we can do this. We can dress them up, and maybe you do something. I was told this was a while ago, and I was sworn to secrecy in the person who told me this, but they said that they were going to try to make basketball courts almost cartoonish, that it was going to be, when you watch a cartoon, or it was going to be sort of a Disney-type feel to the court where it's, you know, it's going to come alive. I don't know if we've gotten to that point, and the person who told me is still working in the business, but I don't know. I don't know if we create, like, visually stimulating basketball court, and then we let the players have some fun with it. I you know, there are probably a million ideas they're trying right now in the NBA home office. Yes, Tom.
Was that considered a success, what Nickelodeon did with the NFL, where it looked like
sure.
people love that? So is that, I guess, something the NBA should try to do with the
offense? Maybe, maybe. I don't think you can say, well, it's a crazy idea, considering what we just saw. I mean, and you want to appeal to the younger market. They're not trying to appeal to me. Like, oh, gosh, I remember, you know, when the East beat the West on a last-second shot, Bill Russell was dumb. You know, who cares? I mean, I enjoyed it, but I thought that was the norm. Yes, Mark.
And how many All-Star games do we really remember? Like, how many moments do you really remember?
Well, in baseball, I did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I just mean, like, the NBA, you know, all those games were high scoring in the 80s and the 90s anyway.
Yeah. Is the most interesting, like, wasn't it Marvin Gaye? Was that at the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Is that, that's one of the top five most memorable moments of an NBA All-Star game, is Marvin Gaye's performance of the anthem, I believe, right? So what's that say about your game? Hey, man, the All-Star game. Marvin Gaye, what a great anthem. Yes, Tom.
And you're more likely to remember things from a dunk contest or a three-point shooting contest than things that happened in the actual game on Sunday night.
We will head to Chicago. What are the Bears doing? And if they're not doing anything, when are they going to do something? We'll have that for you coming up next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
He's one of the great receivers in Chicago Bear history, but I don't know if that's saying a lot. I don't even know if they have a top 10 great receivers of all time in Chicago Bear history. He's Tom Waddle, current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Of all the introductions you've had, where does that one rank, Tom?
That's the most honest and accurate, Dan. There's no doubt. Brandon Marshall once famously said Chicago's a place where receivers go to die.
Yeah. Well, so, given that scenario here with what you have on the roster, if Caleb Williams looks at the Bears right now, what would he want to go to the Bears, given what they have? Yes?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, let's look at an improved offensive roster. DJ Moore is a true one in the league. He may not be a top five receiver, but he's a top 10 receiver in the league, in my opinion. You're getting more out of Cole Kmet than they've gotten in the past. They've got draft currency. They've got cap space. They've got a lot of ways to improve themselves inside that offensive huddle. The offensive line has improved. And outside of the actual, huddle, I think, Dan, if you research the history of the quarterback position here in Chicago, there have been some blips, some positive blips. But we've never had a 4,000-yard passer. We've never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. If Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels or whoever that guy is comes to this town and becomes the first guy to do some of that and become a true legitimate franchise quarterback, that guy may be the second most popular sports figure in the history of this city behind MJ.
Yeah, but didn't I hear that 4 years ago with Justin Fields?
Yes, you did. And okay, we're going to say it again until it actually becomes reality. We are going to speak it into reality, Dan.
You spoke to the Bears GM yesterday.
Yeah.
What is Ryan Poles saying or not saying?
I think the one thing, there are a lot of things I respect about Ryan. I think Ryan's done a really nice job in a short period of time improving this roster in a lot of ways. Has it been perfect? No. The Chase Claypool trade was something that didn't work out. There have been other small issues, but for the most part, I think Ryan's done a fantastic job. He's been very honest. I think he's been very professional. I think the things that I cling to from what he said yesterday, first and foremost, were that they're going to do right by Justin. And that tells me, Dan, I don't think you start talking about doing your quarterback right by handling the situation with being professional and being honest about it. I think that's the right way to do it. But you don't even, I don't believe, go down that avenue if you're going to go forward with him. So I think it was kind of a telling conversation.
Yeah, but if you want to do right by Justin Fields, you keep him and you pay him. They're not going to do right by Justin Fields.
Well, Dan, I think doing right by Justin is if you've made the decision. And he talked about, Ryan also talked about a lot of, no one wants to live in the gray. No one wants to live in between. I think there's more gray with regard to where they could trade Justin and teams that would be willing to dance with them versus where Ryan Poles is with regard to his decision with the number one overall selection. So with that, if they've made that determination, then doing Justin right means making a deal sooner rather than later. It works for everyone. It's better for the Bears. It's better for the team that would dance with you. And it's better for Justin to make that deal sooner rather than later. And I think when he references doing right by Justin, he's talking about handling this with a professional approach and keeping him in the loop at all times. I don't think, the only thing I would push back on, being professional doesn't necessarily mean that you cave to making him your guy going forward and paying him. I would say be honest with him and keep him in the loop.
Yeah, Ryan Poles has to do what's best for the Bears, not what's best for Justin Fields. This isn't a situation where Bill Belichick hand-delivered Jimmy G to the Niners because he didn't want Jimmy G to go to Cleveland.
Right.
It's rare when a coach or GM or owner does something like that. But if you're Ryan Poles, you didn't draft this guy. Your job is attached to the next decision you make.
Yes.
I'll do right by Justin, but I'm doing right by the Chicago Bears.
Dan, I think they're, in a lot of ways, this is a unique situation. How many times does the team with the number one overall selection have a 7-win season the year before? Like, usually that guy's going to a team that's had 2 or 3 wins.
Sure.
So, if the Bears had the 10th overall selection, our conversation isn't about where we're trading Justin Fields. Our conversation is about whether or not they're picking the fifth-year option up and how are you going to improve around him. I think Justin is unfortunately a victim of circumstance right now. I think Justin's a good quarterback. I don't think he's an upper echelon quarterback, and he's got room to grow. But this, to me, is a conversation because of the luxury the Bears have with the first overall selection. And if that's Caleb Williams or whoever it is, that guy is coming into a situation where there is some infrastructure. There is some foundation that is being built. And there are other assets that can be deployed to make that guy's transition from college to the NFL a lot smoother than a lot of other ones.
Talking to Tom Waddle, former Bear wide receiver, current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN.
Mediocre Bears receiver.
Mm-hmm. Well, you played.
Well, that's true.
You played fan favorite.
Well, that's because most of them were faster than me, bigger than me, and yes, stronger than me. And they saw themselves in.
Let's say there wasn't Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels in this draft. What do the Bears do?
That's a great question. I don't know how they would feel about maybe J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix. I don't believe they'd be willing to use the first overall selection. They would move. I think they would move out of this pick. I think this is unique because they have that first overall selection. By the way, for the second consecutive year.
Yeah.
And many have, looked back at what transpired last year and said, wow, did Ryan make a mistake there by not using the first overall selection, not on Bryce Young, but on C.J. Stroud with the way he played. I'm not in that camp. I think he made the right decision. They were still evaluating Justin, and he needed to rebuild the roster with all of the picks he got in return. But if there wasn't a quarterback that this staff believed was, I won't use the term generational, but a guy that can get you further along than where the current guy can get you, I think they definitely move out of the pick and they try to bolster the roster around the QB.
All right, I'll leave you with this. What should happen? What will happen?
I think what should happen and what will happen will coincide. I think they should. I have a lot of respect for Justin. He's a good young kid. He's a hard worker. He's a good athlete. He's a good teammate. He's been dealt a bad hand. As I said, I think he's a victim of circumstance, but I don't think he's been good enough consistently enough to move forward with him. So I think they will trade him. And I do believe that they will use the first overall selection on Caleb Williams. I think at this point, my guess is that they're very comfortable with who he is as a QB on the field. They've just got to make sure that they're comfortable with who he is off the field. And I think that process is ongoing.
He's one of the best white wide receivers out of Boston College to play for the Bears.
Whoa, time out. Brian Brennan was a much better wide receiver than I was, who also fits that narrative.
Okay. All right. The second best white wide receiver to play for the Bears out of Boston College.
Well, that's maybe they played for the Bears, yes, because Brian played for Cleveland and Cincinnati. So maybe I jumped the gun there.
Okay.
But yeah, I think your criteria works. All right.
Keep your head up.
Thanks.
You know, most people, when they do a Zoom call, they have all kinds of awards in the background and trophies in the background.
Wait, I don't have any awards or trophies. This is not a flex, Dan. What am I going to flex? I wore my Bears alumni pullover is what I did for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Great to talk to you, buddy. Tell Sylvie we said hello.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
And that's Tom Waddle, former Bear and current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Very popular there. Let's see. We'll get some phone calls. What?
We were just discussing Tom Waddle. He kind of ran like his name sounded.
He waddled?
Yeah, he wasn't the fast. He was a very popular player at the
time. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Tommy Waddle.
Yeah, Tommy Waddle. I think he was played at Moeller High School.
Sure.
Cincinnati. Yeah, big Moeller High School.
Tom. That's a football powerhouse.
And that used to be. Used to be a powerhouse. Jerry Faust.
Oh.
He coached there.
Didn't he go right from that school to coaching Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Golly, that must have been a big deal.
Yeah, it was a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for it. I think Moeller at the time had 17 assistant coaches when he was there.
Can you imagine that happening today? Any level of high school, a guy going to the premier? You know, like if Alabama replaced Nick Saban with Jimmy Lipper from Central College.
From Hoover High in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
That's what it's akin to, right?
Probably so, but he, you know, there were players from Moeller went to Notre Dame, and I, you know, but still to make that jump from Moeller to Notre Dame, I don't know how long Jerry lasted there, but it didn't go well. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we're back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Which school has sent the most players to the Combine in Combine history? Combine started in 1982. This school sent 18 players to the Combine. Anybody want to take a guess? Paulie, I'll start with you.
18 that first year, 18 total?
18 in 1 year.
The University of Miami.
No. Marvin?
LSU.
No.
That's a good guess.
Todd?
Ohio State.
No. Seton?
Michigan?
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. This year's Michigan team, 18 players. That is a record.
Start of the day, start of the day, start of the day.
Start of the day.
Start of the day, start of the day, start of the day, start of the day.
All right. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Be the first on your block to have the Marvin Prince t-shirt. Marvin has another shirt. The other one has his hands on the strategically placed on the shirt. And be careful if you're ordering it for your wife. But he has a new one. It is the Fresh Prince of Dan's Air. And it's a takeoff on Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Yes, Marvin?
That first one, that first t-shirt was a coincidence.
It was?
I think.
I don't know if we knew it until we saw it. And then we realized where the hands were placed. And so it could have been, you know, somebody who was making it and just put it there. But
honest mistake.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. Barry in Santa Fe. Hi, Barry. Welcome back.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. Earlier, you guys were talking about the best job in sports. The best job in sports would be a quote-unquote security guard at a minor league ballpark. The old folks won't give you much trouble. You see much ball game. Maybe sneak a hot dog and a beer at the seventh inning stretch. What's better than that?
Well, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is getting seven figures. That's better. You get to go to Dodger Stadium. You know, half the season you're at Dodger Stadium. That doesn't seem like a bad job. All you have to do is, you don't even have to ask him questions. They give you the questions to ask Shohei Ohtani. All you do is take the information and hand it to the reporters. Yeah, Paul.
I got to tell you, though, if I were like, you know, 66 years old and retired, and I said, I need a little part-time job to get out of the house. Being a security guard, air quotes, at a minor league ballpark, that seems like a nice day.
Until there's a bad day.
Yeah, until there's a bad day.
Yeah.
And I quit.
Yeah, until somebody picks up a chair or something. Yeah. Or somebody comes on the field. Kayvon in Arizona. Hey, Kayvon.
Hey, Dan. First time, long time. 6'1", 185. Absolutely ripped.
Of course you are.
I think I fixed the All-Star game.
Oh, good.
What if we broke them up into teams of four and did a 3-on-3 tournament, old school?
okay. Sure. Be harder for the players to hide during a game, but you'd actually have to engage. But is it 3-on-3 half court? All right. I mean, I'm open to it. I don't know. But Ice Cube has done this with his league, hasn't he? The 3-on-3. By the way, I like Ice. But if I didn't want to watch these players when they played in the NBA, why would I want to watch them in a 3-on-3 tournament?
They try hard, though.
Well, they get a pretty good crowd. It's pretty good marketing on his part. But I'm watching and I go, I didn't care about, you know, Big Baby Davis when he played in the NBA. Why do I care here?
Being guarded by Tony Allen?
Yeah. Tony Allen, he was always the defensive stopper.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Tony Allen, hey, he's a defensive stopper.
He was grit and grind, too.
I always worry when Gerald Wilkins, Dominic Wilkins' brother, he was the Jordan stopper. You don't want that title because it might last for a game, but it doesn't last for a career. And you don't think that Mike used that as motivation where it'd be like, oh, okay, you're the Jordan stopper. Okay, how about I'll put 50 on you. Oh, I see, you stopped me from getting 60, so you're the Jordan stopper. Okay, well done. Yeah, Pauline.
By the way, Big Baby Davis would do anything to be in the 3-on-3 league right now. He's right.
Is he doing hard time yet?
He could. He and Will Bynum got found guilty in that scheme, that healthcare scheme.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah, they got...
Oops. Well, he'd be playing for the prison yard team.
Yeah, technical.
Yeah.
Flagrant 2, they got called.
Yeah. Is that going to be a situation like Barkley, that commercial where, you know, the kid's picking and they all take Barkley? He's like, yeah, with these little kids. They all of a sudden they're going, all right, let's see who we're going to pick on the prison yard. All right, I'll take Big Baby. Yes. Chris in L.A. Hi, Chris. That was messed up, wasn't it, Marvin?
I'm all right with it.
Okay. Hi, Chris.
Hey, you talked about Shohei Ohtani and the Tommy John surgery earlier, and I got a question. Why isn't Tommy John himself in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I've said that for a long, long time. There's only so many people I can get into Hall of Fames here, but I have promoted. Tommy had, I think, 288 wins maybe in his career, and if you want to do contributions to the game, couldn't he get in under that umbrella? How about a display of his arm? And what the Tommy John surgery looks like here. Maybe make it interactive. Have a left arm there. It's Tommy John's arm. Well, not his real arm. But you have it there and you put it in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Yes, Paulie.
I think I would, you know how you can donate when you pass away? You donate kidneys and so forth. I think I'd donate my arm to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
If you're Tommy John?
Yeah, legacy. I think the guy's like 80 years old now. He's probably not even using it much now.
Well,
water the lawn. He could use the other arm.
Yeah.
You don't. I'm not saying donate before you pass away, but
contributions to the game.
Yeah.
Tommy John, what do you think?
Maybe this is how you settle your first ballot kind of thing. It's like, well, he was good, but it was really just his arm. So then you don't get a full bust in Hall of Fame anymore.
He just has an arm.
Well, that's just his arm goes in because Ricky Henderson's legs, yes, you're in. Yeah. You go.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like, Hank Aaron was known for his strong wrist, and you just show his wrist there.
You build a player.
Yeah, you're building the perfect player. Yeah. You know, I'm taking Hank Aaron's wrists. I'm taking
Ricky's legs.
Yeah.
Ricky be Ricky.
Goat.
This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for
me? Just got a couple for you. 1940, the first televised basketball game was shown on national TV. Fordham University versus University of Pittsburgh. And, of course, it was at Madison Square Garden.
Mm.
1999, Venus and Serena Williams became the first sisters to win WTA Tour events on the same day. And here's a little quiz. It was announced in 2002 that John Madden would be replacing whom on Monday Night Football. In 2002, who did John Madden replace as an analyst on Monday Night Football? This guy was entertaining and controversial.
Not Howard Cosell.
No, next tier.
Next tier. So 22 years ago? Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller's correct.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. I remember I was in St. Louis for a Monday night game. Dennis Miller got behind the bus. So there was a bus that was picking up all the people from ESPN. And I remember he started driving the bus. And I'm like, okay, sure.
I liked him on that show.
Yeah.
Listen, cha-cha, get them all the time on some.
We haven't seen this since.
Kind of like a J.D. Salinger kind of running play there. What does that mean? What does that mean at all? I don't get that.
Wilt Chamberlain's streak of consecutive made field goals. Wow. He had 35 field goal attempts made consecutively, and then it ended 1967. I don't know what that has to do with anything today. All right. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Chris Mannix says the Joker and Luka appear to be the least interested in participating in or what the outcome was of the All-Star game.
Yes. See. Seton O'Connor.
Daniel Jeremiah doesn't have time for other leagues. He's NFL focused.
I know. I felt bad that I brought up the XFL in the new kickoff.
He was
No. He went.
I don't.
I've had to watch tape on 300 college football players, and I went. Ooh.
Haven't really caught up to what they're doing.
Usually Todd will give a heads up to the guests there.
I should have vetted that a little bit.
Thank you, Todd.
We were going to ask you about that. No, don't have him mess me up with the XFL. I don't watch that.
Marvin, what did you learn today?
The All-Star game can't be saved or killed.
Paulie, what did you learn?
10-yard splits. That's all we care about.
Yes. 10-yard dash. Todd, what did I learn?
Bears GM Ryan Poles wants us to believe he wants to make sure he does right by Justin Fields.
TireRack.com, the official tire expert of the Dan Patrick Show. Easy-to-use tire decision guide. Full lineup of Michelin tires. Special offers. Mobile tire installation available in a lot of areas. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Have a great day. Spectacular day. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.